In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the
lobby. It is time to talk movies on a Monday afternoon. Pass the Popcorn. Lobby. Brought to you by Bangor Mall Cinema 10. 557 Stillwater Avenue in Bangor and the Bangor Drive-In. Alan Adams from The Main Edge here with us. Good afternoon, sir.
And good afternoon to you, sir. How are things?
Oh, very good. Thank you. Thank you. Yourself?
Oh, good, good, good. Can't complain.
Sporting the downtown t-shirt. I like that.
There are like half a dozen of these in the regular rotation. So.
And you got another one coming.
That's true.
But So here's what I did. Now, you weigh in on this and let me know, and I may feel badly when I'm done. So, you know, the wiffle ball tournament's coming up in a couple weeks. And I ordered more of the same ones we had last year.
Oh, the three-quarter sleeve, the jersey shirt? Yes.
No, I mean, most years we get a new one, but those people like those a lot.
Yeah, those are nice shirts.
You'll get a new one.
Oh, yeah. Like, and I mean, you know, if I have two, I mean, that's so much the better.
And I got a carry-sized one, too.
I think that's...
Good Lord.
I think you made a good decision there.
Okay.
No, those shirts are solid, for sure.
And, you know, we'll give away a few, but, gosh, Susan Collins was pretty honored to get hers.
I don't want to say it's a big deal, but it's kind of a big deal.
Our student of the year, Will O'Neill, plans on strutting around Dublin in his.
Well, sure, because why wouldn't you?
There you go, that kind of thing. So, anyway, that's coming up. We're looking forward to that. I was going to ask you something else. I don't remember.
Doesn't matter.
It's gone, but you went to the movies.
I did, a bunch of times.
How many?
Well, for this week's edition, this is when my review of The Dark Tower is going to appear.
Yes.
We've already talked about that a couple of times, so we probably don't need to go into too much detail about it again, except to say that I liked it very much. Like, I very much dug the movie. Idris Elba is awesome. Matthew McConaughey is very good. I think there are some people out there who don't necessarily get the direction that this particular adaptation was taken, and it made some of them very angry. For me, it's like I understand 100% why they went in the direction that they did. I thought it worked, we can just leave it at that because I don't want to start trotting out plot points and spoiling things for people. Just suffice to say that I thought it was a very good movie myself.
And I think maybe this was tied in with the movie, or maybe not, but there was a post online of these folks trip through Bangor.
Oh, the hashtag 19 hours in Bangor?
Yeah, yeah. And they got their picture taken out here by the sign. As fate would have it, it was... when my mug was up there
really
doing what I do to the Cross Center, so I made it into that.
Nice.
Yeah, exactly. What is that man doing on that big building? Never mind.
I thought it was very true to the spirit of the books without necessarily adhering too closely to the letter, and I think I had no problem with that.
Cool. All right, what else did you see this weekend?
We saw a very good one. And a very, very bad one.
Hmm.
Which one would you like to hear about first?
Let's do the good one first.
Okay.
Because you know that I always prefer it when you beat the heck out of something.
at the risk of making a coarse joke, speaking of beating the crap out of someone, the good one was Detroit.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. It was a... it's the story of the... the Algiers Motel incident during the riots in Detroit in the summer of 1967. It's the third collaboration between director Catherine Bigelow and screenwriter Mark Bull. They previously teamed up on The Hurt Locker and Zero Dark Thirty. So that's a fairly impressive track record that they've laid forth there. I can't remember the last time I was so viscerally affected by a movie, particularly one that is based very much in real life, like in historical fact. I think I'm just a hair too young to really have a lot of exposure to this particularly tumultuous time in American history. Like when I was going through school, my U.S. history basically stopped You know, in the years immediately following World War II, like that was just, you know, like we had older books and, you know, this and that. And, you know, history doesn't necessarily mean 10 years ago. History means, you know, in, you know, like centuries ago,
right,
or whatever. So I didn't really have a whole lot of exposure. Like I knew, I had heard about the incident. It was a moment where three African-American men were murdered in the Algiers motel in an incident whose details are still shrouded in quite a bit of mystery and controversy, whereas there are a lot of things that people still don't know about the incident. But it's the movie tells the story. It's a, you know, just a few days after the riots have broken out in Detroit. You know, the Michigan State Police have been called in. The National Guard has been called in. You know, tanks in the streets, which, again, that was an American city, like the fifth largest American city, tanks in the streets 50 years ago. Like, that's something that I think, I think I knew on an intellectual level, but to kind of see it rendered in on the screen like that was kind of a trip. Mm-hmm. Like, that was just something that I don't think I was really prepared for. So the movie tells the story. There's a singing group called the Dramatics. They're getting ready to get on the stage for their big break in front of some like talent scouts and whatnot. They have to get evacuated because rioting is approaching. So the lead singer, a guy named Larry Cleveland, played by Algie Smith, and his buddy Fred, who's played by a guy named Jacob Lattimore, they decide that they kind of peel off from the rest. They decide they're going to wait things out at the Algiers Motel. And they're hanging out there, and it's like there's that little bit of remove from the realities outside. And you know, they meet some people. There are a couple of young ladies from Ohio who are there. A veteran just back from Vietnam, and a gentleman whose attitude towards the law enforcement officials is less than ideal. Winds up taking a starter pistol and firing it, you know, out the window, and then, you know, all hell breaks loose. The police officers descend, state troopers, National Guardsmen all descend, drag everyone, into this hallway and start asking where the sniper was. And that's when the unfortunate racial tensions racial dynamics of that city in that time really start to rear their heads. A white police officer by the name of Krause, played by a young man named Will Poulter. He's an English actor. And we basically watch as this sort of nightmare unfolds for these people as they're forced to, deal with the reality that they don't know what their behavior could lead to in terms of life, death, you name it. Like just a pure, unadulterated fear and a complete lack of understanding of an inability to predict the behaviors of these people that they're confronted with. It's just it's difficult for me to really articulate how much this movie sort of affected me. My wife said it was like the most gut-wrenching like horror movie you've ever seen, because it was just like this constant ratcheting of tension because as unpredictable as these people were, like the people on screen didn't know what was going to happen and we didn't know what was going to happen, even though we knew what was going to happen, if that makes sense. Nobody does that sort of boots on the ground, sort of war zone feel like Catherine Bigelow does. And to have that sensibility dropped into an American city was really pretty, pretty impactful. And again, as someone whose knowledge of the real story, it went up to knowing that there was a story. Like, I didn't know the details. I didn't know how any of this had played out. And so to see it play out in front of me and with that sort of, docudrama kind of realism that Catherine Bigelow is so good at, you know, evoking, it was hard. It was a hard movie to watch. I think it was an important movie, for me to see. I think it's an important movie for lots of people to see, particularly in the world climate that we're living in right now. I think it's, a very valuable story to be told, It's a well-made movie. The performances are phenomenal. Poulter is absolutely fantastic. John Boyega is in this movie. He's very, very good. But the cast, I mean, just across the board is outstanding. Again, a great movie, one that I wouldn't be surprised to see get some awards consideration down the road. And it's a movie that I will almost certainly never watch again. Wow.
Alan Adams with us talking about Detroit here on Pass the Popcorn, and then the other side of the coin.
Oh, man. I went to see a movie called Kidnap. Are you familiar with Kidnap?
I've seen the trailers.
Halle Berry's in it.
Yeah.
It's really pretty simple. You've got 10 minutes of exposition where we meet Halle Berry, who's working. Her name's Carla. She's a waitress. She's going through a divorce from her husband and getting ready to spend a day in the park with her young son, Frankie. She and Frankie are going to go to the park, and they're going to have some fun. So they go to the park and, wander around the park, wind up sitting down to see a show. She gets a phone call from her divorce lawyer where she learns that her husband is demanding primary custody of their son. She flips out and then she can't finish the conversation because the battery on her cell phone dies. This is important. So her phone dies. So she goes back to sit down with Frankie. Frankie's gone. So she's frantically looking around the park trying to find Frankie. And then across the parking lot, she sees Frankie being stuffed into a car by this woman. So he's screaming for help and getting stuck in the car and, kidnapped. She tries to stop the car on foot, fails, winds up losing her phone in the process, then jumps into her minivan and takes off in pursuit. What follows is what is perhaps the most excruciating close to an hour I have ever spent in the theater. Certainly this year. Wow. 2017's most excruciating 45 minutes to an hour, because it's just her in a minivan chasing this car for it might not have been an hour.
But it felt that way.
It felt like an eternity. Like, I feel like civilizations rose and fell as I was sitting there watching Halle Berry shout at her windshield, pound on the steering wheel with her fists occasionally, and seeing, I swear to God, it was half a dozen separate shots of the speedometer going from 40 miles an hour to 60 miles an hour. They used the same shot over and over again. I thought I was going crazy. But then it just kept happening, and I was like, no, this is a real thing. This is real. This is happening. We're going to watch Halle Berry drive this car for an hour. So there's that. She finally, there are moments where she, gets out of the car for a second and then has a has conversations with both the woman, the hillbilly woman who kidnapped her son, and the hillbilly dude who was driving the car. This is all taking place in Louisiana, by the way. I don't know if I made that, if I said that. Not that it matters in the slightest where this movie took place. So there's some occasional shouting back and forth between her and the hillbillies, and then, they decide that they're going to ransom the kid off and go get cash or something. Again, there's not a lot about the plot that makes a whole lot of sense. But when we finally get out of the car, we spend the last 20-25 minutes in this weird sort of reverse home invasion thing where she winds up in their bayou shanty, trying to figure out where her kid is, and save the day from the tremendously fat hillbilly woman and her mustachioed inbred husband. And then the movie's over, and that's pretty much what we got. Look, Kidnap. If you ever thought to yourself, Taken's pretty good, but instead of watching Liam Neeson fight a bunch of generic Eastern European thugs, I just want to watch Halle Berry drive her minivan for an hour, then this is the movie for you. I think this is Kidnap has the potential to be I'm not going to go so far as to say it's the worst movie of 2017.
Oh. Worst movie featuring an Academy Award winner?
Oh, see, now that's a very real possibility because this movie is bad. And I don't know what Halle Berry's weird fascination with movies, with roles that consist largely of shots of like her head and shoulders, like talking like in the general direction of the camera. Because there's this one, and then there was that stupid 911 call movie. I don't know if you guys remember that one. But I mean, it was essentially the same thing, except she wasn't in a van. She was on the phone. But yeah, it's like, I don't know if she has a thing where it's like, you know, she prefers roles where she doesn't have to get, you know, stand up. or like walk around, you know. I mean, she's got her critical acclaim. Like maybe she just, you know, maybe she just wants to take a load off every once in a while, and you know, and make a movie where you know she only has to spend 2 days on set actually on her feet. But yeah, Kidnap is real bad. Like Halle Berry is, you know, just her histrionics are dialed up to 11. Like there's no nuance. And again, like I understand that in the, you know, in the real world, like this sort of situation would lead someone to collapse into a sort of hysterics, but this isn't the real world. It's a movie, and you have to make something coherent. You have to tell a story coherently, and with Halle Berry just hammy ham all over the front seat of that Ford Aerostar. Like it just doesn't work. And you know, and I could talk about the kid or the hillbillies. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who these people are. It doesn't matter what they do. Like, this is Halle Berry's movie. I was going to say for better, for worse. This is Halle Berry's movie for very much worse, like for maybe the worst. She's made a lot of bad movies. I don't know if she's ever made one as bad as this. And I am taking Catwoman into consideration.
Wow. That was going to be my follow-up.
Scorching from Alan Adams.
When you refer to it as the most excruciating hour, keep in mind, you've seen the Emoji movie recently and the King Arthur thing.
Yeah. I've seen plenty of bad movies you know, and it's just one of those things where it's rare for me to feel actively angry about having my time wasted by a movie. But that's kind of where I came down on Kidnap. I was just like, I'm sitting there and I went from this can't be happening to, you know, the sort of smiling, shaking my head, kind of, I can't believe this is happening, to the, oh my God, this is actually happening, to the, I'm so angry that someone allowed this to happen. Like that's where I was when I left. Kidnap, don't, I'm you begging go. You don't.
Alan Adams not willing to pay the ransom for that one on this week's Pass the Popcorn. Take a deep breath. You'll be all right. Whew. Thanks, Al.
My pleasure.